is my great privilege to get to invite Nisha to come and share this morning whatever God has put on her heart. I don't think she's ever done this before, so she might be a tad bit nervous. So let's pray for her. Is that okay? Lord, I thank you for Nisha, and I just pray, Lord, that you would bless her as she shares from your word and this whatever you put on her heart. I pray that there be no nerves. I pray that she would have peace that surpasses all understanding and flood her heart and her mind as she shares. That she could boldly just go after whatever you're wanting to do today. So bless her, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Sorry, I'm not a technology person. I'm more of a old school. Those who know me, they know very well that I love pens, notebooks. This Connie, I don't see all of that.
She loves pens.
I think it was last Christmas, she gifted me a bunch of pens, and I was so happy. Actually, I wanted to start with a joke, but I totally forgot. And this morning, my husband reminds me, tells me, do you want to start with a joke? I said, wow, thank you, God, thank you for my husband. So, here we go. Ever heard of a job that requires no experience, gives no training, pay nothing, and you can't even quit? That's motherhood. Oh, and people's lives are on the line. Okay, the next one. The universal mom's code word for not sharing your food to your kids. It's spicy. Thank you, Abby. Okay, so when I was asking the Lord, what does he want to share? I just felt in my heart, he said, share from your own experience. So I'm going to share from my personal journey of motherhood. I have not figured it all out, trust me, I'm still imperfect. But we are all on this journey together. So my topic is on motherhood. Psalms 127:3 says, children are God's love gift. They are heaven's generous reward. It's not just for us moms, it's also for those who are whom God has placed in the position of being a spiritual mother. You know, He trusts you so much with your children and also those who don't have their children. He sends some to be the spiritual mother for them. So our children are God's love gift. They are heaven's generous reward. And the next is significance of motherhood. If someone would have asked me few years later, describe motherhood, I would have said sleepless nights, challenges, changing diapers. But thank God, as I've been growing in the Lord and getting closer to Him, I can stand in a place now and I can say that motherhood is a blessing. It's a gift from God. And throughout scriptures, we have stories, biblical mothers who are an example to show us that motherhood is a high and important calling that God has trusted us as mothers. Motherhood is ordained by God. to reflect and display His love and care for His children. As much as we love them, God loves us too. The more we are in His presence, we see His love, we experience His love, and that's what God wants us to reflect, His love to our children. While motherhood is a journey, it's also, while motherhood is a blessing, it's also a journey that can be difficult, but God provides His grace, His strength, and His support. So it's a sacred responsibility entrusted to us to nurture, guide, and train our children in the ways of the Lord. So the next thing is, what's God's purpose for motherhood? Our purpose as mothers is first and foremost to love God more. He is so zealous God. He doesn't want anyone to be first on the priority list. He loves you all so much. Even as moms, He doesn't want us to have our children on top. He wants Him to be the priority because He is so jealous after you. So the first and foremost is to love God. And the second is to have Him in everything, first in everything we do. And the next is, depend completely on Him with wisdom, with strength. And the next is, trust in His faithfulness. As I said, the first and foremost, God's purpose for motherhood is to love Him, as it says in Matthew 22, 37 and 38. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. For this is the great and the first commandment. So how many of you are thankful that you have Jesus in your life? Right? If not for Jesus, if not for knowing Him, who He is, we would not have been in this place, or we would have not come so far in this journey of motherhood. Without Him, it will be really hard to walk this journey of motherhood. Having Jesus and a love relationship with Him helps us to become better moms as we grow and learn from Him each day of our life. The next thing, God made us as mothers to draw us deeper and closer into His love. That's the main purpose why we are made as mothers. Once we are in this place of love relationship, He starts to sanctify us. He starts to change us and to transform us like Christ likeness. There is a saying, it goes like this: the more you behold the things, it's what you become. For example, if you are beholding something that's so closer to your heart, that's what you become. So as mothers, when we are in this relationship with Jesus, the more we are in prayer, the more we are reading His word, what is happening is that He's sanctifying us. Even the things that we don't know, still they are inside those junks. But the more we spend time, He sanctifies us and He makes us more like Him. We are becoming what Christ wants us to be as moms. And the other purpose is to influence our children's faith and character. As I said, to reflect God's love through our words and actions. Oh, that's so very important. The way we talk, the word that we use, the way we behave, they are watching us. That's what it says next. We are walking, talking, living examples for our kids. What we love, they will end up loving. What we say, they will end up saying the same. And what we do, they will end up doing the same. So when I think of this, what you do, they will end up doing the same. I remember this. I have this habit of giving a present to my friends on their birthdays. I love buying gifts. So whenever I write a greeting card, whenever I buy a greeting card, I will always make sure that there is a verse that I write for them or some words of encouragement from God. So Bettina has been seeing this, and she was very small, like around 8-9 years, and she said, Mama, I have a friend whose birthday is coming up and I want to buy a gift. So we went, bought a gift, she got a greeting card, and then she went to her room and she found some verse and she wrote the verse on the greeting card. She brought it to me and said, Mama, see what I've written here. And as a mother, I felt so happy. I felt so proud. So it's so very important what you are doing, they end up doing. And a negative example, I don't want to be the perfect mother here. So, I don't know, I love this animal, it's buffalo. So, I don't know why I love that animal, but somehow I love it. And if I have to yell or say something, that's the first word that comes out of my mouth. You know, buffalo. In my mother tongue, it's yeruma maadu. Okay? And when Octavia does something, Bettina gets so upset and she goes and yells at her, yeruma maadu, buffalo. You know, like it's more, you can connect with my mother tongue very easily than saying just buffalo. So, yeah. What you do, they do, and what you say, they say. Very important lesson to be learned. The next thing. So, as I said, I have been in this journey with the Lord, and I want to share the key steps in becoming a better mother. I won't say that I'm a perfect mother, but I'm still in the process. So these are the key steps that the Lord has been teaching me as a mother, how I have to apply those in my life in becoming a better mother. First is the power of prayer. That's my oxygen. That's really my oxygen. I cannot leave a day without talking to my Abba Father. He's my Papa. I love him. So the first thing I do is prayer. That's my life support. And second is knowing your identity in Christ. Do you know that the enemy is so behind this? Because once you know the purpose, your identity as mothers, you are warriors. Just like Pastor Paul said, you are warriors. Once you know the identity and the power, you can tap into the spiritual realms of God and you can do warfare for you, for your family, and for your children. That's why the enemy is so behind after your identity of who you are in Christ. So once you know that, then you have the power and authority to speak through the word of God. And then the last is power of having a godly friendships. So we are going to talk about all these four steps, and let's go. The next slide, please. Power of prayer. The first step to follow for creating a happy home and a joyful motherhood is commit yourself to pray daily. God loves to have a running conversation with us all day long. It's not just when you are in a struggle or when you are in a challenge that you need God, you go and talk. talk to him. No, God loves us so much, just like we love our children. We love them, we want them to grow in the ways of the Lord, we want them to have a good future, we want them to have a godly character, just like that. God loves us. He loves to have a running conversation. He loves us so much that He longs to talk and wants us to listen. It's not just talking, it's also listening from Him and learning from Him. So prayer is all about having a heart-to-heart conversation with God to show how much we love, trust, depend on Him, and to also know how much He loves and values us. When I said that He loves to have a longing conversation, the example would be when me and Abhi were dating, I wouldn't say dating, but when we were in love, he would travel hours and hours just to spend time with me for half an hour. And I would travel almost 45 minutes. We have a common place where we would like to meet. So he will travel like almost 4 to 5 or 7 hours, and I would travel 45 minutes just to spend that half an hour. You know the longing as you're traveling? You're in the bus and I'm in my scooter. I'm imagining those moments that I'm going to have with him, the talks, the love. So that's how he longs. It's not just for half an hour. He longs to have all day running conversation. So it's, trust me, it's so amazing to have that love relationship with the Lord, and it so edifies us. Mark, in the next some verses on prayer. Mark 1:5. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Even Jesus, the Savior of this world, the King of Kings, the Creator of this universe, he knew that he couldn't do anything without spending his time with his Abba Father. He knew that he received his strength, his joy, his peace, like being the Savior of this world. He was so in love with his Abba that he wanted to give him the priority first. So even Jesus gave such importance to having the prayer time with the Lord. James 4:8. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. 1 John 5:14 and 15. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know that we have what we have asked for. What a confidence, what a hope that we have when we are in time, when we are spending time in prayer, that when we are praying according to his will, he hears us. And when we know he hears us, we have what we have asked for. I know there is a verse in Psalms 139:4. It says, you know what I am going to say, even before I say it, Lord. I'll read it again. You know what I am going to say, even before I say it, Lord. Then you can ask me, why should we have to pray then, when he knows everything even before I say it? You know why? It's the time that you are with your Abba. He loves to hear it from you. He loves to have that love conversation with you. That's why we spend more time in prayer. Power of prayer. As I said, prayer leads to personal transformation. Prayer deepens our faith and trust in God. Prayer changes our mindset and breaks the lies of the enemy, and it helps us to grow in God's truth. Prayer connects us to the supernatural realm, allowing us to tap into God's power and authority to receive answers to our prayers. We receive God's love, his joy and peace, healing and breakthrough. through prayers. But what's the challenge here? The next slide, please. The challenge is many mothers very often pray for the children, but they don't pray for themselves. So what do I mean by that? When Bettina is doing something wrong and I'm not happy with it, I'll go in my prayer room and I'll say, "Lord, did you see what she did? The words that she used, she's not listening, she's not obeying. Why don't you make her listen? Why don't you change her?" No, we are so often praying for our children. How far are we praying for ourselves? It's when the Lord reminded me, the Holy Spirit nudged me, convicted me, it's not her. See yourself, it's you. The way you asked her to do things was not honoring her, was not respectful. So it's so very important, and that happens when you are in prayer. When we have that relationship with God, prayer leads us to personal transformation, to become a better mom each day and every day. So when God convicted me, I asked for forgiveness. I repented and I said, "Lord, help me to discipline her in the way you discipline us." Oh, trust me, if we have to discipline our kids the way the Lord disciplines us, we need more learning and training from Him, really. So that's what it says. We pray very often for our children. How often we pray as moms, "Lord, change us. Help me to become like you, a perfect mother, a perfect parent." Important part of being a good mom is recognizing that we can't do it well without God. We mothers need the Lord to enable us every day to walk in the fruits of the Spirit. We had a session about the fruits of the Spirit, to walk in His love, His joy, His patience, His kindness. So prayer is such an important thing, and spending time and asking the Lord to change us, to walk in the fruits of the Holy Spirit, is so very important. And I have taken a biblical example from 1 Samuel 11. It's just a reference, I don't have the verse, sorry about that, but I read the verse. It says, Hannah, the backstory is, Elkanah had two wives. One was Hannah and Peninnah. Peninnah, she had children, but Hannah, she didn't have children. So every year they would go to the temple, they would make sacrifice, and Peninnah, who had children, she would always mock her, torment her about Hannah not having any children. So it says, Hannah got up and she said this to the Lord. She made a vow saying, "Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head." So Hannah, she prayed specifically to the Lord to have a son. So when I was reading this, I was reminded of my own example. After marriage, I wanted to become pregnant, and I told hubby, "Okay, let's go on this journey." And he was like, no, let's wait. I want to feel settled, so let's wait. And I was like, "No, I'm not going to wait, and I'm not going to postpone. I need a baby." And I was very specific that I want a baby girl. So I was in this prayer room, in a church prayer room, and there was another auntie was praying. Suddenly she comes next to me and she lays her hand on my stomach and she prayed. As she prophesies, I see a girl baby in your womb. I was like, wow, that's amazing. She was so specific. I see a girl baby. So I went back home, told Abhi the story, and he was like, okay, don't build your hopes up. Whatever the Lord gives, whether it's a baby girl or a baby boy, that's okay. So then when I was in my sixth month, we were in Dubai, and in Dubai you can know the gender. So we went to the scan and they said, it's a girl baby. I was like, hallelujah, how specific. God, our God is a God of specifics. So he says, pray specific prayers and trust me, dream big. So God answered my prayer. It's not like, okay, I said, Lord, I want a girl baby, but still it's your will. I was not holding on to like, Lord, only a girl baby. No, for sure not. So coming back to Hannah's story. Hannah was praying that she would have a son, and God answered her prayer. And she got Samuel, and as she promised, she gave back Samuel to God. In verse 20 it says, in course of time, Hannah became pregnant and she gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, because I asked the Lord for him and he answered my prayer. And then what happens is that in the same chapter 1, verse 27, I prayed for this child and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord, my son, and for his whole life he will begin to serve the Lord and worship him. I mean, when I read this example, it really amazed me, because imagine the courage that she had to give back the child to God. She was going through so much of heartbreaks and all the insults, the torments, and God finally answers her prayer. And now, just as she promised, she goes back and gives the child to God. I mean, that's really amazing. What I am trying to say is that Hannah did not have her identity in the title mother, but she trusted the one who made her the mother, right? So that's what our identity lies in. It's not when our prayers get answered, it's not what I want, it's who you are, what he is in your life. And the next thing, Hannah was just asking for a son, but God sees a prophet in her son, right? God sees a prophet to the nation of Israel. He sees the big picture. So sometimes we just see the small picture of getting pregnant, becoming a mother, having a child, but God sees the big picture of what he is going to do through you, through your child. There will be prophets, there will be Esthers, there will be pastors, there will be businessmen raising up. So it's very important to see not just the small picture, but the big picture that God has for us, through us and through our children. Okay, these are some of the lies that we believe as moms. I have been in that stage, and still sometimes the enemy loves to whisper the lies because he's after the identity in who we are in Christ. The first one is, I'm not good enough. I'm inadequate to be a mom. I'm the wrong person to raise this child. My failure as a mom is too big for God to overcome or use it for his glory. I can't do this, so I should just quit. There is no high purpose in endless mundane task. So these are the enemies, these are the lies of the enemies that we believe at times. Even I have been in that phase, and sometimes even now I believe it, like I'm not good enough. Because in the initial stage of motherhood, I was just a year old in the Lord, and when things doesn't go my way or when I get upset, I would become so angry. I was a very short-tempered person, I would say. By God's grace, I have come a long way. Very short-tempered to a point, I'll start breaking things in the house, like fans, like plates, and whatever is in my hand, I'll just throw at Bettina or throw at Abhi. You know, I was so short-tempered, and I have felt so bad about myself. Like, I would just go and lock myself in the room, and sometimes in church during worship, I would sob in His presence. Lord, this is not the mom that You want me to be. This is not the person that I want to be. It's so heartbreaking the way I behave, and my child is seeing I'm not being a good example as a mom. You know why? What was the reason for that? Because I grew up in a dysfunctional family where I saw was all fight. My dad would grab my mom's hair and he would drag her, and my mom would just hold her leg, I mean his leg, and she'll be like, oh, it's so hurting, please leave me. I've seen all those things. I grew up by seeing those stuff. So it was really hard for me, and I was very small, like 5 years or 6 years old, and I was not in a place to help my mom. So that is how I grew up, and my dad would just kick my grandparents, and I grew up by seeing all those things. And when I was doing it, I was like, Lord, no, I don't want to be that parent. I am a new person in Jesus Christ. Would You please help me? So that's how I was growing up, and that's how it was affecting my motherhood. And it says in the next slide that anyone in Christ, he is a new creation. All that is related to the old has vanished, and everything is fresh and new. And I claim this verse over myself. Lord, it says that all that is old is vanished, and I am a new creation in You. I am fresh and I am new. So I will put on to those new self, created after the likeness. I will declare this word. Lord, I am putting on the new self that I am in You, that I am created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. And God gave me a strategy. I took all the verses that talks about anger in the Bible, and I sticked all around in the kitchen room, in my bedroom, in the washroom, and every day I would confess, Lord, I am growing in the righteousness of God. I am slow to anger. I am slow to speak, quick to listen. You know, those things, the word has power. So we are not what the enemy says we are. We are not what others say we are. We are not even what we say about ourselves we are. We are what God says and sees we are becoming in and through Him. We are not formed by our past wounds and our present weaknesses. We are becoming what God sees we are as moms. So this is what God's word says about us. In Christ, I am a child of God, I am loved, and I am accepted. I am forgiven by His blood. I am strong, capable, empowered by God. I am a vessel of God's grace and God's love. My children arise and call me blessed. I am worthy as mom. I am worthy of honor and respect. As a mom, I am clothed with dignity and strength. God has good plan for me, for my children, and for my family. This is what who you are. So stop believing the lies of the enemy. Don't give him the room. Don't give him your footstool. Claim the enemy is after our identity, because he knows once he grabs it, once he steals it, we will not become the warrior God has called us to be. So break those lies and declare who you are in Jesus Christ. And then, and the next, power and authority from God's word. So God's word, just like I said, it has power and it has authority. Genesis chapter 1 states that God created heaven and earth by speaking into existence. God said, let there be light, and there was light. So that speaks about God's power. When we speak, there is power. When we speak God's word, there is power. Life and death is in your tongue. So speak the words that will bring life into your children, into you, who you are becoming as a mom that God sees you. God's word has authority. Jesus got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. He commanded the wind and the water and they obeyed him. The disciples were so shocked. He was sleeping in the boat. When there was a storm, they woke him up. He went and he just with authority commanded the wind and the storm to settle and all was calm. This is the authority that we have in Jesus. The same authority that he had, the same power that he had, that's the same that walks in us and through us. Because God's word says we are seated in heavenly places next to Jesus. And as his daughters and moms, we have the same authority on God. When we apply God's word in prayer, we are laying hold of God's promises that he gives us, and we are declaring them over the lives of our children. So this helps us to pray boldly in faith, knowing exactly what his truth and his will and his identity. Can you get the kids, please? Okay. When we apply God's word in prayer, we are laying hold of God's promises. This is Bettina, when she was 2.5 years old. She loved guitar. She always loved worship. She loved guitar. And with that guitar, and the first gift that she asked was a guitar. And when we gifted her, the first song she sang was, "Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul." That was her first song. And the prophecy that we received over her was that she will become a worship leader. You know, and I mean, they have been friends and pastors, prophets. Whenever we have taken her, even after coming to Canada, I don't remember their name, but someone prophesied that she will become. She is becoming a worship leader. And it's the promises of God was so strong. The calling of God on her become a worship leader was so evident by these confirmations, preacher after preacher and prophet after prophet. But after we moved to Canada, her identity was questioned. Her identity was questioned so much so that literally she broke down and she came to us and she said, "Mama and Dad, do I look beautiful? Do I really look beautiful? I hate myself. I don't like the way I am. I hate myself." And as a mother and as a father, to hear that, she has never said that in her last 11 years of her life. "I hate myself. I don't like the way I am." Her identity was questioned. She told us, "I hate God for bringing me to Canada." And she was drifting away from his presence. And as parents, it was so heartbreaking. There were days that I have not even slept, but just no words, just tears in the presence of the Lord. And the Lord told me, "Fight the right fight. You are a warrior. You are not here to bow down to the lies of the enemy. You are a warrior in me. So fight the right fight." God reminded me of the promises that he spoke, not me, but he spoke that she will be a worship leader. She is becoming a worship leader. She will grow in the wisdom of God. And I held on to it. I held on to it and I prayed, Lord, this is your promise. This is what you promised, that she is loved, accepted, she is beautifully and wonderfully made, and she is becoming the worship leader that you had the calling on her life. And literally today you saw the living example of God's faithfulness. And the day all the youths led the worship during the fasting prayer, my goodness, I couldn't say a word but just thank the Lord. He is so faithful. So whatever challenges you are facing as a mom, please don't give in to the lies of the enemy. You have the authority, you have the power. Keep going after God's word, after His presence. His promises are yes and amen. He's worthy of a trust. He's worthy of everything. He is a faithful Father. And last, power of having godly friends or godly friendships. Developing godly friendships where you can be unfine takes trust, courage, and I always don't get that word, vulnerability. Okay. So being unfine, it's okay. You know, we all are not perfect. There's something that God is still working in us. So it's okay to be unfine. So find friends who are godly, whom you can trust, and just share your heart. God provides godly wisdom, guidance, spiritual growth through godly friends. And spiritual mentors are also part of God's plan. Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpens iron, and so one person sharpens another. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. So having a godly community matters to God. Having a godly friendship matters to God. And the example is Mary and Elizabeth. Mary, when the angel appeared and told her that she is going to have a child, she was afraid. That's what the Bible says. And angel says, Elizabeth, who was barren, is now pregnant. And Mary, she packs her bag, she goes and sees Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth sees Mary, when Mary greets Elizabeth, this is what she says. The angel says, even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. So Mary got up, hurried, went to see Elizabeth. And this is what Elizabeth says. Mary is afraid. She's not okay. She's unfine. And she's going to see a godly friend. This is what Elizabeth says. She exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promise to her. Words of life. Elizabeth is speaking words of life into Mary. That's how godly friends are meant to be. When you are unfine, when you are sharing your struggles, God uses those friendships to encourage you, just like Elizabeth encouraged Mary. And it says, Mary stayed with her for 3 months and returned home. I'm sure they would have discussed about God and encouraged each other. So this is all so very important. So these are the things that God has been teaching me in this journey of motherhood. And I pray that this would bless you and you continue to grow who you are called as mom. And you continue to grow into the person that God sees you. So, Bettina has something that she felt it's from the Lord last week, and she doesn't know that I was preaching. I have not heard because I just wanted to hear it for the first time.
My turn to embarrass you. I didn't even know my mom was preaching today, and last week I was just laying down in my bed and I felt like God wanted me to say something, and it was just that some mothers here don't realize how much they pour into their kids' lives and don't realize how much they're appreciated and valued. So I asked my mom if I could share about this today. I want to start off with a story. So a long time ago, I used to fight a lot with both my mom and God. And I felt like I had something to prove and I didn't need my mom. And I just wanted to be the cool teenage rebellious girl. But I found that no matter what I did, wherever I went, like even if I was friends with the wrong people, I always had God's protection in my life. And then I remembered my dad telling me a long time ago that as long as I have a praying mother, the devil has no hold on me or my family. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, I remember your genuine faith, for you share this faith that first of all your grandmother Louise and your mother Inuits, and I know that the same faith continues strong in you. Timothy's mother, who through her faith and prayers had prepared Timothy for ministries, her example demonstrates how much influence a mother's spiritual guidance has on a child's upbringing. Mothers are seen as having a crucial role in training their children in godliness, as highlighted in Proverbs 31, where a mother's prayers and actions are seen as shaping her child's character. A mother's prayers can bring healing, comfort, peace to her child. They can calm their fears, soothe their sorrows, and strengthen their faith. So thank you to all the mothers and grandmothers here today. Thank you for being the prayer warriors in your families. Your prayers are a blessing and a protection and a source of strength for your children. We appreciate your selfless love, dedication, and commitment to praying for those who you care about. May God bless you all abundantly for your faithfulness and continue to hear and answer your prayers. Mothers are the heart of the family, pouring love and care constantly into every aspect of their children's lives. They nurture, teach, guide, and support, often putting others' needs before their own. From late-night feedings to comfort hugs to bedtime stories and prayers, mothers selflessly give up for themselves. We are so grateful for your tireless efforts, unwavering patience, and unconditional love. Thank you, mothers, for all that you do. We appreciate and love you more than words can say. You're the glue that holds the family together, and your influence shapes our lives in profound ways. We are grateful for your presence and your heart, and I can confidently say that there is no one I fight more with than my mom. But I can also say that there's no one I love more than her. So thank you, Mom. Thank you for everything that you do. And thank you all for being such incredible mothers. We're more than blessed to have you in our lives. And hope you have an amazing day, because you guys really deserve it.
All the mothers to stand up. And if your husband or your children are there, would you please lay your hands on them? I just want to release the power of God's word that says in Psalms 52:8, but I am like an olive tree flourishing in the house of the Lord. I am anointed in the house of the Lord, and I trust in the unending love of God, and the Lord's passion towards me is forever and forever. So I just felt to release this blessing, olive tree, each mom standing here and watching online, you are an olive tree that is flourishing in the house of the Lord. You are anointed for the calling that God has placed upon your life. So I just want to share the significance of olive tree. It's used for lamp oil. It says, you shall command the people of Israel that they bring to you pure beaten olive oil for the light, that a lamp may regularly be set up to burn. They use the olive oil as an they take lamp oil from the olive trees and they use to keep the lamp burning in the temple of God. Second is healing oil. The Good Samaritan gave him first aid, pouring olive oil on his wounds, disinfecting them and bandaging them to stop the bleeding. So it's used, significance of olive tree. The second is healing oil. Third is anointing oil. It is symbolic of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that the olive oil is also used as an anointing oil, which is used to sanctify, to set the anointed person apart to enter God's calling. And the last one is the significant use of olive tree is its root system is able to regenerate the tree even if the above ground structure is destroyed by draft or by any fire. The new shoots appear because of the regenerating root system. That's why the olive trees are called indestructible trees. So you moms standing here, you are an olive tree flourishing in the house of the Lord, flourishing in your household, flourishing over your children's life. So I just want to take the power and authority that I have in Jesus Christ, and I want to release the blessing upon each one of you and on myself too. Lord, we thank you, Father, that we as moms are flourishing olive tree in your house, in our families, and we are flourishing as moms over our children's life. We are flourishing as wives over our husbands, Lord Jesus. We thank you that you made us to be the lamp oil in our life, in our families, where we are poured to burn the light, to keep the lamp, the fire burning for you, Lord Jesus. We thank you that, Lord, you have trusted us to keep the fire of God burning in our families, in our children's life, Father, Lord. We thank you that we are the healing oil, Father, that you have used us to bind the wounds, to bring healing into families, oh Lord Jesus, into our children, to bring healing into our husbands, Father, Lord. We thank you for the anointing of the healing oil. We thank you that we are the anointing oil, Lord Jesus, that we, Father, called as moms are set apart for the greater calling that you have trusted us with, Father, Lord Jesus. And just as we read, Father, the regenerating root system, Jesus, as far as we have you as our root system, we are going to be regenerating, Lord. No matter what the storm, no matter what the flood, we will continue to regenerate the fire of God, the word of God in our lives, in our children's life, in our families, Father, Lord. Lord, we bless each and every mother, Lord Jesus, that they are loved, they are accepted, Lord Jesus, that they are a child of God. You have called them, anointed them with your anointing oil to this high calling that you have trusted them with. So Lord, we pray that you will continue to lead us as a perfect mother and as a perfect parent, to reflect your love and your character, to bring up our children in your godly way, to make them love you, to trust you, and to depend on your strength, and make them know that you are worthy of our love, Lord Jesus. So we bless every mom standing here and watching through online, and every other mom who are not able to make it, let them continue to flourish as an olive tree wherever you have placed them, Lord. We seal this blessing, this power of your word, with the blood of Jesus. Lord, we are becoming what you have called us to become as moms. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.